I'm going to shift the gear here and talk to Kerry and Angeline about what are some of the things that airlines and hotel industry are doing, working with each other to provide the baseline for a traveler's health and safety. You could share your perspective both as an employer as well as what is generally happening at large for the traveler.
Okay, perhaps I can start first.
Yes, problem.
Okay. Yeah, for the airlines, just like what has been mentioned earlier on, there's a lot of emphasis on governmental restriction and also some of the travel advisory. So as you know, there are lots of travel ban in place. So it's not a matter of where the airlines would like to fly to, but so much so about working with the government and on all those green lanes and where is it that we need to support that kind of traffic. And as it has been mentioned earlier on, the traffic right now is very much on a semi-permanent basis, not so much for leisure and also more for a homebound traffic, right? And the customer's journey has very much changed for the air travel. I mean, for those that are traveling or have traveled, you will have really get to know about some of the changes. For example, it was mentioned about some of the new administration documents that need to be in place, tests that need to be done. So these are some of the key information that we have assessed that a customer or a traveler will need before they travel. So we have packaged some of this information in a central repository, knowing that everybody has turned to online for information right now. I mean, next to having some of the offline support that is not available right at this stage. We have pushed everything to digital, to website for information sharing, as well as preparing better the traveler for their trip. Because a lot of things have changed, right? You know, nobody likes to touch on anything right now. And the key word right now here is about protection and reducing contact, right? So we have to manage the travelers about some of the key things that they have to bring on board. For example, in Singapore, it's mandatory for face covering when you get out of your house, right? And that includes going on board the plane. So we have customers saying that, how is it that they can't imagine having the face covering for that long trip and that many hours on board the plane. So we are trying to manage their expectation and make sure that they know what to expect when they are going on that travel. And not just that, sanitization as well as health hygiene is really important, as it's been repeatedly mentioned many times. So, you know, behind the scenes, there's a lot of aircraft cleaning, a lot of disinfection, and even about the air on the aircraft, the cabin cleaning. So all these are happening behind the scenes, but we need to make sure that our customers are aware of all these that are being put in place to ensure their safety and well-being. So we have come up with all kinds of communication because I think the awareness is really important. And also getting them to understand that it the risk is really being mitigated and all measures are being put in place to ensure their safety. So not just that, come to hard copies, you know, for those regular travelers, you would have identified with your onboard, your in-flight entertainment, touching the screen, touching the magazine, doing your onboard in-flight duty-free shopping. So all this has been reimagined and changed to a new experience. We are trying to bring on board some of the duty-free shopping to before your trip so you can do a pre-order. And our crew, we haven't changed our processes to try and push some of these sales, your purchases, to be delivered to your seat or even to your home. I mean, if these are some of the purchases that you would like to do on the duty-free shopping. And climate landscape has changed. When you arrive at the airport, you will see frontliners in masks. I mean, it's no longer just in a hospital or in a clinic that you see people in masks. Everybody is masked up for their personal protection. And I'm not sure about other parts of Asia Pacific, but in Singapore, it's very common to see a protective acrylic screen right now. So on many of our counters where staff are on static position, they can't really move around. So there's these screens that are segregating, protecting the customers as well as protecting our frontliners for that kind of safety measures in place. Then on top of that, of course, safe distancing, right? I mean, we have seen many surveys and people are concerned when they go on board the plane, crowded places like check-in. So we are encouraging people to do remote check-in from home. And thankfully, some of these processes are already in progress and gain momentum pre-COVID days, right? Reducing all this friction about doing any touches on board. And even for boarding pass right now, you know that traditional boarding pass, the hard copy, we have already converted to mobile boarding pass. But even self-printed at home for those that are still liking the hard copies, but you don't like to get it passed from a third party. So this is also being made accessible for our customers. Then for lounge, even the food, you know, our usual buffet spread that has been redesigned. You know, no longer a buffet that is available to our customers, but right now we have changed it to an a la carte service. So they can make their orders based on their preferred dishes, and then we can actually deliver to them. So coming to onboard, even our cabin crew, you know, the famous kabaya suit right now is with donned with masks. Crew are with wearing masks aboard the plane throughout the flight because it's mandatory for us to do so, as well as goggles for the extra protection, just to make sure that their face are well covered. And again, the food on board is redesigned. You know, for our premium travelers, they are used to that course by course service delivery of their meals, but that has been changed. The whole idea is really reducing and minimizing the contact between our crew and the customers. So for passengers in the premium class, they are still getting some of their signature dishes from SIA product, but it's all trying to cram within that tray that we are serving out for the premium travel experience. And for our in-flight entertainment, for those that are not so thrilled about touching screens, we even have a companion app. You know, you can actually pair your app with your mobile device. So, you know, nowadays you can't travel without a mobile phone, right? So everybody has their mobile phone with them, and they can actually pair it with our in-flight entertainment to do that kind of interaction so that they can minimize all the touches on board. So everything has gone digital, if you can. And then I guess it's no longer about the number of interactions, but it's really about the quality of interaction. But end of the day, it's really to make sure that we have the essential measures in place, redesign the whole journey with our customers, and also restoring their travel confidence, because it is indeed safe if we have put in some of the measures in place. Yeah, maybe over to you, Kerry.
Thanks, Angeline. So obviously, I agree with that. A lot of what you had to say, we're probably going through a very similar journey. Just kind of jump on the last point first and then go back to what we're doing. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk in the industry across brands, hospitality groups, airlines. A lot of the language is coming out of this, you know, contactless environment, contactless processes. And of course, yes, we all accept that was a trend pre-COVID and has been exacerbated post-COVID and during COVID. But there's this line that we're really looking at it now. We believe it needs to be low touch, but absolutely to your point, high emotion. I mean, I'm listening to what Benji and Peter have talked about, some of the experiences of these workers. You know, we have to be able to recognize that when they get to, in my case, you know, a hotel, like what have they actually had to go through to get there? How are they feeling? What is their mental well-being like? And that's where we're trying to reimagine how do we get closer to their story is and be better able to deliver an experience when they're staying with us that makes them feel like, oh, okay, I've got some sanity. So I think, you know, the All Safe label, which we've developed in conjunction with Bureau Veritas and a couple of the leading medical authorities, that's the bare minimum. I mean, we're hospitality. We've always had lots of standard operating procedures, like the airlines. We've been very high in cleanliness, but of course, these are now highly defined, and there are obviously extra steps. So our program goes through 16 major areas and major focus points, which you need to be certified through. So that's the process that we're undertaking now, because we absolutely know that your customers, your employees, our customers need that extra level of confidence and trust. But that's the expectation and the minimum. And of course, it's most of you have talked about the sort of different government regulations. So depending on which country we're operating with, I mean, we have to not only try and deploy All Safe in a way that it can be the baseline expectation, and then you can work with the local government. So if I take the case of Fairmont Swissotel here in Singapore, you know, I've been through what AllSafe looks like and what SGP looks like. And to your point, I mean, there is a lot of cost for the hotels, which, you know, I, as you can imagine, in a crisis mode when half of our hotels around the world closed and obviously, thankfully, in some places reopening, it's a difficult conversation with your owner to say we can't do this. It's paramount. It's paramount to bringing the business travel back. So, of course, we'll do that. And, you know, I guess to take that assurance one step further, we did announce recently some more communication coming out in a couple of days, a partnership with AXA, and that's really to try to give in-house guests access to a complimentary telemedical conversation with a medical expert in that location should you need it. So I guess, you know, for us, this is the bare minimum. It has to be deployed before I think we're even get people back in the front doors. But the winning hearts of the minds of the customer will be understanding their story and that personalized experience in-house. And you talked a little bit about it, Angeline, before, the ability to be able to communicate what is the level of expectation, depending on which country you're in, is going to be paramount so we're not setting ourselves up for failure and the customer is not even more stressed when they arrive. They have to do different things. Because like you, Manu, I also think that digital is an enabler and it's going to help streamline processes and procedures, but we're still going to need the human part of the equation.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kerry and Angelina. Listening to you, my traveler confidence has risen. Share a personal story. I'm based out of Delhi in India, and I work in Mumbai, which is towards the west of India. And my stay is actually at an apartment or a studio in a hotel. And since the time this entire lockdown period has been going on, one of the biggest concerns personally I've had as a traveler is how do I go back to that hotel? Because technically it is a hotel, it's not an apartment, it's not my house. And listening in, it just brings that confidence back in. Benji, Peter, just shifting the gear towards you, confidence to be still has to have multiple parts. The travel industry plays a role, hotels, airlines, everybody plays a role. But what can you think of as organizations' preparation towards instilling that confidence for our business travelers and encouraging them to feel safe as business travel opens up in the future?
Sure. For us, it's so the first definitely recommendation is for us, we need to be very consistent and organized in disseminating information. So not 10 people disseminating information. So what we have done at Novartis is we only have one global site for all COVID-related information, whether it's business travel, meetings, you know, when going to the hospital, there's just one site, and that's a single source of truth. So, and every time we communicate, we make sure that we coordinate with our global security and emergency management team. So we have one message, and again, consistent to what the organization believes should be the direction. We, as a travel team, have minimized our campaigns on travel, again, to give way to supporting the organization's focus on remote working and, again, safety. We also, second is the emphasis on being responsible. So we are asking our travelers to be responsible. So if they need to travel, it's no longer just like what everybody has described. It's the business travelers' experience is not like what it was before COVID. So you have to be very responsible. We launched a campaign called Five Golden Rules, advising, reminding our travelers, these are the things that you need to do from, you know, social distancing, face mask, washing your hands, et cetera, et cetera. I think recently CWT actually provided us with the traveler tips guide. That's been very helpful. We have provided that to our associates. And I think the third one is, again, having a consistent policy globally. So there may be local deviations, but there needs to be one consistent policy so that, you know, travelers are not misunderstanding what they need to do. And again, the last is obviously providing your travelers with all the things that they need when they meet, you know, they need to go on business travel. Peter?
Yeah, thanks, Manu. Thanks, Benji. Yeah, I'm not surprisingly, I'm aligned with Benji. This is about consumer confidence. And in my opinion, I think it all comes down to easily accessible, clear, concise, complete, and most importantly, up-to-date information, because information is changing so quickly. So, you know, Benji referred to this. So whilst CWT Travel Essentials and the CWT Traveler Checklist will go a long way to help organisations build their content and processes, what we are seeing, though, is that no two organisations are the same, and each needs to take the time to engage across their own internal stakeholder groups, to develop their short, medium, and longer term strategies, you know, for the management of travel. The only thing that I would add to that is the complexity. And Benji, you heard Benji talk about some of that complexity. And, you know, I've got some stories about some of the complex trips that we've had to organise for people that would make your hair curl, really. They're just a nightmare. So I also think preparing people, their travellers, for the unexpected. I think that's going to be a big part of it. So yeah, up-to-date information, clear, concise, readily available. You know, use the CWT tools as part of forming your program and plan both short, medium, and long term.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Benji. I'm gonna just, there's a second layer of question which I have for Kerry, Angeline. You, in line with what you stated, are the practices going on, and they're very, very healthy. And firstly, as I stated, I feel very confident to hear about what the airline industry is doing, what the hotels are doing. I also hear a thread of communication being the need, which is within the corporations. So how are you thinking of bridging and providing more and more of such safety measures, information to corporates so that they know all this is happening? So maybe if you could share some practices there, that would be really helpful.
Right. Okay. I think before we communicate, what is essential for us to know is what are the key information that our customers require, right? I think Kerry has mentioned and also mentioned many times that some of the key needs are travel restrictions, travel documents, what are the changes, because situations remain dynamic. I mean, there have been days where we, within a day, we actually sent out three different sets of communication because policy has changed within the day, right? So that is not uncommon in this climate. So I must admit that it is a challenge, but the few approach and strategies that we have taken on board is really to reach out in their preferred channels, right? Yes. And a survey has shown us that some of the preferred channels actually shift and change through the different stages of their journey. For example, before their day trip, on the day of travel, they typically prefer communication on the mobile phone. Push notification to any mobile app, that would be more appreciated rather than an email, right? But before they leave for that trip, I think typically they would prefer to be communicated via an EDM or an email reach, which is actually a question I have for Benji and also Peter, because there has been many talks about communicating some of the changes and things that they need, or even some of their wants, right, from the employees. But how do you reach out to them in this climate? Because everybody is working from home and telecommuting, and everybody has their preferred mode of communication. And classic for us pre-COVID is always through the phone. People like to call us, right? Or even like to just walk into our touch point. So right now we have no choice but to turn to digital, but even for digital, we realize that there are various channels, and we are trying to approach based on their preferred channel or whatever that makes sense, because certain information needs to be more timely than others, right? For example, email, we realize that sometimes people do not access their email until much later. Whereas for a mobile phone or SMS or WhatsApp messages, it's a lot faster to reach out to them. But the challenge remains for us to really get all these contact details of our customers I mean, if you can identify with me, because we don't always have a direct access to the end traveler. We may reach out to only the corporate travel managers. And then, you know, there is another layer of distributions which make it extra challenging in terms of timely information dissemination. I do not know whether Kerry has anything to add or.
I'm sorry. I thought you were asking Benji and Peter a question. I don't want to put you back on the spot. I also say that it is hard. Of course, there's so many different means and preferences on communication. Of course, where we have the information because they're a loyalty member, it makes it a lot easier for us to make sure we're pushing accurate information that's pertinent to that stay. Or generally, you know, when we do a partnership with AXA or when Allsafe comes in. But at the moment, we're having conversations with all the GDS partners to make sure as hotels are certified, that information is pushing through. So it's going through to the major GDSs and in turn our major TMC partners. And of course, a lot of our strategic corporate customers that we work on in partnership with SWT, we're communicating probably simultaneously. There's probably their double communication because I'm sure that CWT is building their microsites with information, et cetera, on what all the chains are doing. And of course, you know, even if the customer finds its way to an OTA channel in the future, then we're still going to communicate our all safe because the most important thing is the confidence of knowing a hotel is either all safe, you know, has that label or not, right, and where they're covered. That's the baseline criteria, I would think, for travel, other than, of course, government restrictions. But I would agree with you that this in as we move into the next phase of trying to build that confidence, it will be aligning with our major partnerships on how we communicate timely and accurate information in a very fluid environment until such time as the vaccine, and even then, we could have flare-ups. Benji wants to be able to get hold of his customers and we want to be able to tell them something happened. And so, yes, I do a lot more talking.
Yeah, it's Peter. Look, I'll answer that question really quickly. I think there are two key ways that you do that. One is through the digital channel, through MyCWT. And you really need a digital channel because you need to be able to consolidate information from multiple sources really quickly and effectively, and to be able to move that on and to provide that to people through mobile or through desktop in a very efficient way. So you can only use technology to really do that data consolidation and push that and provide that in a meaningful way to people. The second thing I would say is the CWT frontline, our agents, you know, they're the ones that are actually finding the solutions for people, and they're very aware of what's going on with suppliers. They're seeing all the updates from the suppliers because those supplier updates, you know, are coming in thick and fast as well. So a combination of two things, you know, your agent offline, that's another reason for the offline at the moment. And the second thing is that digital support, you know, where you've got all the border controls, you know, supplier information, refunds, visas and requirements, you know, all of that, you know, ISOS alerts, you know, all of those sorts of things that you need to consider and consolidate in a very quick way.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Peter, Kerry, Angeline. I think this is one part wherein I truly believe the lines are also blurring between commercial and consumer. And a consumer is as much a commercial traveler, and they're looking at a lot of social media today for such updates. So maybe an insight could be to actually fast track or progress the consumer insight on social media. We're at the top of the hour and just a couple of minutes left for us. Just in a quick round mode, for all of you, if there was one idea that we could think about within the new world order that the travel and stay industry could actually do differently to reimagine the business operating model, what would that be? So really make it quick, sharp one. What would that look for you?
Well, it will be contactless for me.
Okay.
I say low touch, high emotion.
Low touch, high emotion. I'm going to take that back.
I would say, Benji, go ahead.
I think beyond safety and security, I think environmental sustainability is not going away anywhere. So that there needs to be a big focus on that.
And for me, I actually think it's about actually looking at that wider ecosystem understanding all of the variables of that ecosystem and how they relate to an end-to-end journey, and being able to package and streamline those into a very simple and effective single workflow, so that it's effective for the end user.
That's very well said, and thank you so much for all of you. We can continue on this conversation, I'm sure, for another wrap of the hour, because I'm sure we have stories to tell on our business travel. But I'd wrap up my moderation here. It's been great listening to all of you. Kobe, back to you.
Thank you, Manu. And thank you to Benji, Kerry, Angeline, and Peter for a fantastic session. I think some of my takeaways is that I can no longer use my boarding pass as a bookmark, or for my expense claim for that matter, if it's on my mobile phone. And I also think too, you know, we have to redefine what truly is essential travel. And knowing that hotels are certifying their cleanliness are truly valuable insights. And I feel these will help our attendees to provide confidence to their traveling population when the time comes. And with that, thank you again to our panelists and Manu, our moderator. From our business to your business and to your employees, please stay safe and have a great rest of the day. Thank you.